Somebody said one time, you never know what you can do until you try. So I want so much to be able to bring out a little something, and I don't know just exactly whether I can or not. I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I start into the Bible, especially into the book of Revelation, I always, when I say the book of Revelation, I mean into spiritual revelation. I don't ever know where to start, and I don't ever know where to end. And I have to wait until I can find, until I can break into it through the Spirit of the Lord. And then when He shows me where to stop, then I stop. A lot of times we attempt to do something and we can't even get into it. But I'm hoping tonight that maybe He'll let me get into something. After I came back today from where we'd driven off to for a little bit, I said, well, I'll spend the rest of the evening with the Lord. And I went into the back room, and I had a visitor, and we visited quite a long while, and then I had another visitor, and we visited quite a long while, and then I was go take a little time, and I looked, and it was 6:30, and I had enough time to get ready. All right, so then, the Lord knows what He's doing. The book of Genesis, if you want to turn over to the first chapter. Brother Taylor, come and read for me. I want you to read tonight. I'll get Brother Taylor to read for you tonight. Feel like getting him to read this. So if you will, come and read this. Got your Bibles now. Let's turn to 1 Genesis and read all the way through the first chapter. We'll read the whole first chapter and to get us a foundation here.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them.
All right, that gives us some idea, brethren, of what went on. You already knew that, but nevertheless, I wanted to read it, and I'll let you think on it now. In the third chapter, after that God had created man and woman, we find in the third chapter, the Bible said that the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the any beast of the field. And we find that in the third chapter, God highlights the fall in the garden. Now let's just read a little of it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now let he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. All right, now, you know, I'd like to say this tonight, if you're going to let me talk with you a little bit and you're going to just relax, settle down, stay a little while. Now, you know, there is a spiritual world. There is a spiritual world. And there is a carnal or a natural world. There is a spiritual man, and there is a carnal or a natural man. All right, now, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now, we can twist it up, mess it up, make it look ugly. Whatever we want to do, God will let us do with it whatever we want to. Our life is our own to do whatever we will with. Our minds are our own. And we can be degraded in our thinking and be abased in our thinking, or we can be holy and virtuous in our thinking. We can be lifted up and puffed up in our thinking, or we can be humble and holy in our thinking. But see, whatever it is, it's up to us. We know that Adam and Eve was naked. The Bible said they were naked. And I preached a message here on why God allowed them to be naked, what it had to do with. And that God only used a natural symbol to show us or to bring us a spiritual meaning. If we will take the natural side of life and realize that God is a spirit, and we'll apply the natural side of life toward a spiritual application, then we can understand God. For God is a spirit. I preached on the covering of his glory and why that they were naked, how that they were uncovered, and what God was trying to tell us. Now see, God is a spirit. When we come together here, we have to realize that we're reading from a natural book, that we are a natural man and a natural woman that has come together in a natural building. But we've also got to realize that though we are every bit of this as far as the outward appearance, yet we are different from the world. We are different from mankind. And that we are a quickening spirit. that we are a spiritual people. Paul said, I would that ye be spiritual. What is spiritual? Being Christ-like, being God-minded. When he said, ye walk in the Spirit, if ye walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust. That is the desire of your human infatuations. Not be carried away with your human passions. How can I then walk in the Spirit? By walking in the mind of Christ. See, there is a mind of God, there's a mind of man, and there is a mind of Satan. And if I am to be spiritual and not carnal, then I must walk in the mind of God. Is that right? Now, there is nothing wrong with carnal things. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal things, which is natural benefits. But the trouble is that Satan is cut off from heaven. He is cut off from the great heavenly things. And because he is cut off from the heavenly things, then he savors the things that be of the world. He cannot get to the heavenly things. Therefore, he is looking for earthly things. You follow me? Now, so then the only kingdom he can have is the kingdom of this world. Is that right? Satan is the prince of this world. And we wouldn't have any trouble enjoying the earth, enjoying the trees, enjoying the rivers, enjoying the streams. But the devil, who is a spirit, he infiltrates all of our thinking. He infiltrates the entire earth, the entire world. The whole world is under a curse. Because Satan, through the weakness of mankind, which is the woman part, the woman typified it in the garden, Satan, through the weakness of the flesh, has taken man's inheritance away from him. You understand what I'm saying? Through the weakness of the flesh, he has taken the inheritance that belonged to Adam and to you and I. So then he is the prince of this world. And he's got control of this world. Through you, inasmuch as you forfeited your right to your inheritance by submitting to him through Adam. You understand what I'm saying? Now, so then the trouble is that Satan gets into the carnal side of life, the carnal side of thinking, and that's where the war comes in. That's why the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. It isn't that God wants to do away with the world. That's not it. God wants to purge the world. God doesn't want to do away with your body. Your body is the temple of God, but God wants to purge your body. See, like the physician is trying to get the disease out of you. You understand what I'm saying? So then, the physician is trying to get the disease out of your flesh, your mortal part, so that he can save the life that is inside of you. If he doesn't get the disease out, it will eventually kill the life, and the body and life and all will be gone. That is what God is trying to do. God doesn't want to injure the body, but he's trying to get the infiltration of the powers of iniquity out of you that has become interwoven with your mind and body, and that iniquity is headed for your spirit, headed for your soul, and if your heart ever conceives of iniquity, you are defiled and God will destroy the temple because you will be a whore and you will be bringing forth a bastard child from the wound of your heart. And God will not have you if you do that. All right. You understand what I'm saying now? All right. So then we know that God is a spirit. When I get up here and I start talking, I stand here believing that there is a God in our midst and in my heart and in your heart. And that God is a spirit. And that God will take this word that I'm thinking upon, and he will transformate that word, change that word. How do you know that you can change the word? You say, change it out, Brother Pine. The Bible said the people of the world, the devil has changed it into a lie. Is that right? He's changed the truth into a lie. Isn't that right? We can convert this word, that is, transform this word into a spiritual benefit, a spiritual life, and a spiritual revelation. We can do it. But the only way we can do it is by the faith of Christ. That's the only way. It's by the faith of Christ that we're healed. I'm not healed by Brother Pike's faith. If I was healed by Brother Pike's faith, then I would never have any problem. But I've got to contend for the faith that comes from the mind of Christ. And that's going to take the mind of Christ to give me that faith. And that's the faith that's going to translate us and take us out of this world. That's why the church hasn't been translated already. It's because we have a religious conviction. We have an intellectual concept of religion. And though we are religious people, yet we have not conceived in the sense of bringing forth Christ in our lives. That's why that God exhorted them through Jesus to contend for the faith. Through Paul, he exhorted them to contend for the faith. What faith? The faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. The saints of God can have that faith. All right? So then, God is a spirit, and God is a gentle personality. He is in our presence, and God is desiring to change our thoughts into spiritual thoughts. God is desiring that when I see that word, that I get a spiritual understanding of it, a spiritual revelation of it. That was the difference between Peter and Paul. Paul, though Peter saw visions, though Peter could raise the dead, yet Peter had never come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, when Paul come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, God showed that the revelation of Jesus Christ had preeminence over working miracles or having the keys to the kingdom or anything else. He magnified Paul until Paul went to Peter before all the people and said, I blame Peter to his face because Peter was to be blamed. Now, why did God do that? It was because God wanted the people to see that the revelation was the preeminence among all of the teachings of mankind. So then when we come up here, we stand here not trying to get anointed because we are God's anointed. I never come to the pulpit trying to get anointed. I get in my room and all I ever do is shut the door. I didn't have to do that. I just walk out of here, walk in here, and I feel the anointing of God. That's not necessary. But what I'm trying to do when I'm up here is to get the anointing to you, to get you to receive the anointing, to get you turned on, as the world said, to where you can light up with the anointing of God. That's what creates an atmosphere, is when you begin to believe, you begin to expect, you begin to look for something, you begin to have a little faith. When Jesus would go into the area and he would go to do something, then he would seek faith. The Bible said Paul turned around and he saw a man and perceived that the man had the faith to be healed, and he told him to get up. Is that right? It didn't say Paul turned around and healed a man. It said he perceived that he had the faith to be healed. Is that right? And when Peter healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, he wanted him to know that the man had the faith to be healed. Are you listening? And it holds true because the Bible said many mighty miracles Jesus could not do because of their unbelief. It is always the faith of the audience that brings something to pass in their life. It is my faith that brings something to pass in my life. It is your faith that brings something to pass in your life. Somebody said if that preacher was anointed, I could feel the Spirit. You couldn't feel nothing. A dead man don't feel nothing. But I tell you what, when you get anointed, you can feel something. It don't make no difference whether the preacher's up there or not. All you got to do is lift up your faith to heaven, and I'll guarantee you that you'll have something. If you put your faith in the preacher, you ain't going to feel nothing. But brother, if you put your faith in God and realize God is a spirit and that God gave you His word that He would be here in the midst of us, you'll begin to feel something because you believe something. All right, I saw Brother Reeby struggle the other night. He stood up here and struggled and struggled, and he couldn't get nothing to take among you. I saw Brother John Jameson struggle this morning till he got disgusted and was ready to sit down because he couldn't get nothing to take among you. I know, I'm a preacher. I know, I can tell what's going on. Now, but the thing is, if you believe, you can have something from God, but if you don't believe, God will move out of your midst and take it somewhere else. All right. Now, we are a spiritual people. We have to believe spiritually, folks. We've got to turn this thing into spirit. I deal with you different from the people out on the field. When I'm out there on the field, I go to my room and I pray and I seek God and I try to stay there. And when I come out, all I'm interested in is just going out there and busting everything up and breaking the fallow ground and driving in, get their attention and tell them about Jesus. But when I'm here, I have a different feeling about it. If I come plowing out through here and just try to bust the ground and run up and down, you know, I feel like I'm playing a game with you. Because you know the things of Christ. And you need to wake up. You say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think we need any preaching? Preaching or teaching? Paul, the same thing? Now, I believe you do, but that's the milk of the word for the babes. And we need it. We've got to have it. And we do have it. God gives it to us. Now, but the thing is, we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. We need to come into the meat of the Word, for the meat is for the strong. And we've got to get into the meat of the Word if we're ever going to make that translation. You remember that? We are going to have the faith of Christ. You can sit around here and say, well, the time element ain't right, and we're waiting for the time element, all these kind of things, but that won't ever do it. It's not a matter of a time element. God didn't place nothing in a time element. God is not a God of time. God is a God of the Spirit, and God placed it within the rim of faith. If you want to believe for a miracle tonight, God will give you a miracle, and the other fellow can sit here for the next 10 years saying it ain't time. Some of them said it's not time to build the house of God, and God let them sit there. Others got up and said, let's go build the house of God, and God made the way for them to build it. All right. So then God is a God of faith. That's what God is. Old Brother Enoch said, felt like God was a God of faith, so he just turned on his faith and spread out the wings and sailed off to glory. Is that right? That's what God is. God is a God of faith. God said, stir up your own selves. Stir up your own minds. Is that right? God wants you to stir up yourself. Stir up your minds. Move about in the Spirit of God and get stirred up for Christ. All right, so then we are a spiritual people. We are standing here as a spiritual people. And see, when we come in here, what we've got to think is like this. That this is a word, and a preacher is preaching the word. But God, we want that anointing to turn that word into spirit, to where it's revelation and it's life. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. When that word is turned into the anointing, turned into the spirit, then it becomes a quickening power. It becomes a stimulation. It becomes an enlightenment of your understanding. It leads you into the world of life. That's what we got to do. Now, otherwise it's just a printed page. The Jews had it. The Bible teaches that they had it. But it did not profit them in that it was not mixed with faith. Is that right? Now, if I come up here, I come by faith. I come believing that God wants to speak to you. If I come in the faith of Christ and you come in the faith of Christ, if any two of you can't agree, God will do something. If I stand up here and every person in here freezes up on me, but just one individual, like the little woman did when she come to Jesus, and I can take hold of that faith and that faith will take hold to me, God will do something for that individual. Hallelujah. God works with individuals, not groups. All right. So then, we come here wanting something spiritual. We look at this, we consider this, and we try to understand something spiritual. We say God is in our midst. So then God tell us something. God transformate something. God quicken something. God unveil something. God enrich us with your presence. Now, it's like somebody come to me a day or two ago, and they was talking about the serpent seed, the seed of the serpent. And they said a certain man made the statement, one that's been trying to pose us, made the statement that if it wasn't certain way, then there was no need of Jesus spilling his blood at Calvary. And I made the statement, I said, I don't see where that's got to do anything with it at all. I don't see anything that's got to do with it. You understand? I don't see where that's got to do anything with or has anything to do with it. Now, I don't see where somebody laying with a beast or somebody having to have a fellowship with a beast has anything to do with Christ spilling his blood. God didn't come down here and spill his blood because somebody laid with a beast. That's absurd. God spilled his blood for the redemption of mankind because of sin. That's what the Bible teaches. He tells me to preach the word. My brother, there is a sin, and that sin is unbelief. And that unbelief works in the spirit. And all of the natural things of life is only a typical thing. They're only types and shadows that point to those things. And whatever happens in the natural is only typical of what happened in the spirit. Why is it that Paul said there is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit if it is a matter of just one man being a beast and producing a generation of beasts? I've said this a lot of times. If Cain is a beast, then his father's a beast and his children a beast. Why did Christ have to die for that? Somebody said, well, that's why he had to come and die. Pray tell me, why did he have to come and die for that? He isn't going to take any of those beasts into heaven. He said they're beasts made to be taken and burned. Why would he spill his blood for a beast? No reason for it. It don't make sense. But brother, somebody got mixed up somewhere. They got entangled with something somewhere. And Christ had to come and die that we could be free from that entanglement of sin. What is that sin? It's the sin of unbelief that got into the heart of Adam and every son of God that was born into this world. Every person had that unbelief on the inside. And since that time, the twins have struggled in the womb. And there's been a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. That's what Paul found out. That's what the revelation's all about. The spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? That's what it's about. It's about the twins in the womb. All right. So then God is a spirit and God is trying to help us. God is trying to do something for us. And God wants us to be spiritual. He wants us to understand spiritual things. Why did Jesus die? He didn't die for a bunch of beasts. That wasn't what he died for. He died that I might have life and have it more abundantly. He said I could have life filled up and overflowing. That's why Christ came. Hallelujah. I said this morning the reason Christ or God instigated death was simply for the reason that we might understand the value of life. Hallelujah. When we see the awfulness of death, then we can evaluate properly and we know the greatness of life. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then God having instigated death, what did he do? He didn't ask somebody to conquer it, did he? God didn't ask somebody to conquer it. He just more or less stood up and said, I instigated it for my purpose. I create the good and evil. I'll come down there. I'll walk in the veil of humanity. I'll show you how to conquer death. Hallelujah. And he went to Calvary and did it for me. Glory to God. So then, I don't have to worry about death. Death ain't nothing but God's servant. He just used it in his plan. And I'm glad that he used it, even though my precious dad is laying out in the graveyard because of death, and my brother's laying in the graveyard because of death, yet I'm glad that God brought it about because it shows me the beauty of life.
It takes death to reveal to me God and His greatness. Hallelujah. So then through death I know God. Paul said, I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, been made conformable unto His death. Unto His death. Unto His death. What's the purpose of it? That I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. If God had not sent forth death, I could never have known the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so then we see that this thing is a spiritual thing. That beast part has nothing to do with it. I've said this over and over, that the beast part has nothing to do with it, that God used that for a typical thing. The nakedness of Adam and Eve was a spiritual thing. Now you say, you don't believe that they were naturally naked. I'm talking about what God was trying to show us. Does God care for naked people? Certainly not. God's not interested in naked people or non-naked people. God is a spirit. God's interested in the spirit. He said, all flesh is as the grass that passeth away. That has nothing to the flesh. Bones, a little old bit of sinew. What does God care about that? Is that right? What God is interested in is man's spirit. God's interested in your spirit today. Brother, if God gets your spirit, He can make millions of bodies. He can make the rocks cry praise. He's interested in that spirit on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So then that takes it out of the hands of the devil and puts Satan in a cage. See, it is a true fact that we are looking at a spiritual thing, my folks. That's why God uses the woman and says, if that woman has her head shaven, she is altogether in God's sight naked. Is that right? Said, if she be shorn, let her be covered. Is that right? Because her covering, as I brought out in the revelation, was her covering is her husband. What is her husband? Her husband is a hair. What is a hair? A hair is a government. And that's on the shoulders of the body. And that covering is there. And that's what Eve lost in the garden when she rejected Adam. She rejected her covering. And when she rejected her covering, she became a whore. I said she became a whore. That's why God called the Catholic Church the great whore. That's why the Catholic Church shaves all their hair off and puts on a dark veil up here, because the veil of death covers them. Because she's a whore, that's what she is. The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Hallelujah. The Bible said, they that are whored of God shall fall therein. What is the whore? That old carnal mind of religion. That's what it is. That old intellectual mind that's out yonder in seminaries and out yonder in the intellectual parts of the world. All right, so then let her be shown. If she won't have the covering of her husband, then let her be naked in the sight of God. Somebody say amen. I said, if the church won't let God speak to them through the fivefold ministry, let her be naked then. If she can't have the covering of God as the mind of Christ, let her be naked. For she'll be naked in the sight of God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. God doesn't want us to be naked. He doesn't want us to be shown. What does He want us to do? He wants us to have that beautiful, glorious covering of His glory. That covering of the glory. He said they cover with a glory, but it's not God's glory. It's not God's covering. Amen. The Catholic Church has got a covering of their own. What kind is? It's an old dark intellectual veil. Is that right? Of conceit. It's shown by that thing they put on the top of their head. An old dark intellectual veil of deceit. That's what it is. Coming from the serpent. Coming from that old evil mind, the garden. They found out for a fact that you go into the monasteries, and what do you find? When you get in there, what do you find in there? You find pools, acid pools, where there's been illegitimate births and where they took the children and thrown them into the acid pools. Amen. To keep down the evils. Amen. And the federal government, that is the government of the world, can't go in there because they believe in church over state. And their iniquity is covered. Is that right? That's what it had to do with when I went to New York, back up there in New York. That was a monastery up there. What was it? What was the thing? I attacked it right openly in the church. I attacked the evils of the serpent. the brutality of the beast. That's what I come against. And when it went out of heaven, what was it? It went out of heaven. And when the thing went out of heaven, God said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. What is it, that old bloodstream, that old bloodline, that blood that come all the way down, a crooked, a perverse generation? That's what it is. That's why when Jesus hung at Calvary, he spilled the blood. The blood of those innocent animals had to be spilled. That blood had to be spilled. There was no other way to get around it. It had to be spilled. Why did that blood have to be spilled under the law? Because the life is in the blood. You understand what I'm saying? The life is in the blood. And that beast blood had it in captivity. This part is nothing but a beast, my brother. Is that right? It's nothing but a beast. Somebody said, this body is part of God. Where do you get that? He said, from the dust I art, to the dust I shall return. Is that right? That's where the beast come from. From the dust he made it. You understand what I'm saying, folks? So then, when it comes to the beginning of the creation of God, where do we find it? We don't find it in Adam. We don't find it in Adam. He said, Adam, thou art from the dust. You'll go back to the dust. You may be under the covering of God in this age of grace. You may be walking on and doing your thing. And you may be Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. You may be Catholic, whatever you want to be. But brother, you're from the dust, and to the dust I shall return. Hallelujah. But that Son of God that's resurrected, Paul said, to know him in the power of his resurrection, that great Christ that came up from the grave, what did he say about him? He said, this is the beginning of the creation of God. Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Born to the Spirit, from the Spirit, thou art to the Spirit, thou shalt return. I came out from God, I go back to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'm headed that way. They said, where are you going? He said, you don't know now. He said, but a little later you can come. I came from God and I go back to God. I'm not of this world, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Brother James, I'm not of this world. That's why I act peculiar, is I'm not of this world. Hallelujah. When you act peculiar, you're not of this world. Glory to God, we're not of this world. You're different people. Hallelujah. So then, who are we? When God took Jesus and he placed him back at Calvary, he nailed him to the cross. Somebody said, Brother Pike, those wicked men nailed Jesus to the cross. The Bible said we esteem him smitten of God. My dear brother, no man could have took Jesus to the cross. There ain't a man living that could have took Jesus to the cross. Jesus was so courageous that when he walked into the temple, the Bible said he turned over the money tables. Hallelujah. He shouted and he popped the whip. Nobody would dare touch him. They was afraid of him. Nobody took Jesus to the cross. Jesus said, I have this commandment of my Father. I can lay my life down or I can take it up. You can't do nothing with me. Hallelujah. So then God smote Jesus. Is that right? We esteem him smitten of God. That's what happened. God smote him. Why did he smite him? There was a reason that God smote him. What was that reason? That reason was when God looked upon Jesus, and I want you to hold on now. When God looked upon Jesus, he saw a bastard child. Come on. He saw a bastard child. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. I'm not crazy. Said, you're calling Jesus a bastard child? Jesus wasn't a bastard child. The Bible said this Jesus I'm talking about knew no sin, neither was guile found his mouth. But the Bible said he was made in the image of sin. My sin and your sins, my brother. He was made in the image of sin. He was made like unto the bastard child. Come on now. He was made in the image of sin, and he took that image and he picked it up by that God life. That Christ on the inside picked that image up. that was made in the likeness of man. What is man? He's a bastard child. Somebody said, I don't like that. What was Jesus made in the image of? He was made in the image of that old carnal mind. What produced that bastard child? It was the act of human relation that God didn't instigate. Back then, it's a state of debauchery. You understand what I'm saying? It was a bloodbath. That's what caused the trouble. So then, what did he do? He came down and he was made in the image of that bastard child. What bastard child? That natural birth. Is that right? You're not born to the will of God. What are you born of when you come in this world? You're born to the will of man. You're born to passions. You're born of desire. Isn't that right? Where does that come from? That comes from Satan. That comes from the tree in the garden. That comes from knowledge. That comes from human passions and desire. You say, where do you get that? David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. Come on now. Wasn't holy matrimony. Said, in iniquity. Somebody said, well, when you're married, it's different. That's all right. God is hallowed. God has blessed it. But tell me, who was it that married Adam and Eve? Who was it said, Adam, do you, and Eve, do you? And who was it that stood there and said to Adam and Eve, so be it, after they said, I do? It's a true fact that there's people that's out here in the world that's never been before a preacher, never been before anybody that's chosen them a companion, and they're getting along a lot better than some of them that's got the certificates. Somebody said, now, wait a minute. Brother Pike, you're not condoning that, are you? I certainly am not. It's rotten. But I'm just trying to tell you that getting a piece of paper and having somebody say, you're married, that don't mean nothing. My brother, there's got to be some love down in here. Did you know that? The thing that binds people together is love, real, genuine love. And what does that love do? That love causes the woman to submit to that man as her head. She receives a covering. Is that right? If that man doesn't live for God, if that man is intellectual, if that man spends his life out here in the human realms of reasoning, she's married to a beast and she's in a prison. God have mercy on her soul. But if that is a son of God and he's got the mind of Christ and he's walking according to the liberty of the sons of God, hallelujah. Lady, you really got you something. I'll tell you right now, if you've got one of them, you hold on to it, because whatever he is, that's what you are. Hallelujah. So then God saw a bastard child. He saw that old image of the natural birth. And God so loved the world, he looked down, and Paul said he made an image, Jesus being made in the image of sin. God brought him forth to where he would look like a bastard child. That's why God allowed a virgin birth, so that they would say he's the bastard child. He hasn't got a father. God allowed every bit of it. As far as the natural, they felt like they could substantiate their claim. But there was a spiritual thing that God had given. Hallelujah. And that spiritual thing was the life that came from God. He had a father. Hallelujah. What did he do with the part that was called the bastard child? What did he do with it? He hung it up at Calvary. He poured out his wrath upon it, because he said, I will despise thine image in the morning. Somebody said, oh, I think I'm so cute. Like a fella not too long ago, he felt like he was so cute. He talked about how he looked in the mirror and how he felt like he looked so very good to himself. That old bastard child. That same somebody is out yonder tonight smoking, as far as I know, drinking and taking dope. You understand what I'm saying? But there was a Christ. Hallelujah. There was a Christ. What did Jesus represent? The first man, Adam. What was the first man, Adam? That which fell from grace. What had to be done with it? It had to be folded up and laid away. Why? So that the second man, Adam, could come forth. Why? Because from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. He represented the bastard child that had to come down from Calvary and be laid in the dust. Amen. He had to do the very same thing that Adam did. And Jacob back there said, and we go the way of the world. He said, call the children in. He said, I'm fixing to yield up the ghost, for I must go the way of all the world. All of the dustlings of the earth. We all lay down to sleep together. Hallelujah. I might get there before you do. You might get there before I do. But there's one thing you can be sure of, that if you get there first, the man that's behind is following and he's on his way. Hallelujah. So then the old bastard child out there in the world, what is it? He's a bastard child. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't believe God's pleased with you calling him people bastard child or children, but they are bastard children. Where's the heavenly father? Where's the name if they're not bastard children? Hallelujah. Is that right? Where is the name? If they've got a father, where is the name? Somebody said, well, Satan created them. Satan can't create. You know better than that. Amen. And where does the name come from? There's only one name. What is that name? That name is Jesus. Is that right? I lose my identity in death. Why? Because God smites the first birth, the bastard child. For it's written in the Holy Scriptures that the elder shall serve the younger. Is that right? The firstborn's got to come into subjection to the secondborn. Who is the secondborn? The spiritual man, Christ from heaven. That's who he is. You follow me? All right, so then, we look at this thing as a spiritual thing. Where are we going? What are we doing? Why did God pour out his wrath upon Jesus? He made an end of the image of the bastard child. That was the end of the bastard child. The blood lineage was over. It could go no further. Jesus, having to go through the role of the bastard child, looked up to heaven and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've done nothing, O God, that would displease you. Why hast thou forsaken me? For he knew no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. But he that knew no sin was made sin, that God might smite him as a bastard child. Not that he was a bastard child, but God had to show the release of that inner life that had got in captivity back there through the weakness of the woman. Is that right? From the fall of Adam, when that life becomes subject to a woman, you say, Brother Pye, that life never did come become subject to a woman. God put the breath of life in Adam's nostrils, and the devil through Eve took that life into captivity, and the devil ruled over Adam. Come on now. That's why God said, the man shall rule over the woman. Because the woman is the church and the man is God. You understand? So then when that life that God gave to Adam went to the weaker part of Adam, which was Adam's flesh, then the flesh ruled over the spirit. Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean that Eve was taken out of the side of Adam. That continual warfare between the body and the spirit. The woman represented that flesh, the weakness thereof. She was taken out of the side of Adam. She was the weak part of God. Is that right? Man represents the strong part of God. Woman represents the weak part of God. Is that right? You say, God doesn't have any weakness. Yes, he does. What is his weakness, you and I? Amen. We're part of God. Did you know that? Did you know that? Hallelujah. So then what was it? When that life came from Adam, it went into the control of the mind of Satan, that mind that had got in the weaker part of Adam, which was Eve, and that intellectual reasoning that got in Eve's mind was transferred over to Adam. And when that came over to Adam, Adam willingly, freely gave away his sovereignty and went under the control of it. When Jesus went 40 days and night in the wilderness, That same evil power came right back and said, if you be the Son of God, he said, let me see you turn these stones into bread. Jesus inasmuch as said, you did that to Eve, but you'll never do it to me. Hallelujah. To whomsoever I submit, I'm his servant. I have the power to do that, but I'll never give you the satisfaction, Satan, of ruling over me. Telling me what to do. The devil was conquered. He was conquered. Jesus boldly stood and said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me. Is that right? I've conquered him. I've conquered him. This Christ on the inside of me, the spirit, your part, driveth my natural part into the wilderness. And I was there for 40 days and nights, and Satan wrestling through that natural part, trying to tempt me in every way through my passions and desires, trying to get me to sin against God. But he said, I'll never do it. I'll never do it. And out he came, out of the wilderness, and the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. That's why Paul said, I seek to know him in the power of his resurrection. See, we've got to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. The Bible said, he that has suffered in the flesh, he has ceased from sin. Is that right? If you've never suffered in the flesh, you can't cease from sin. You've got to suffer in the flesh. And when you come to the place to where you suffer in the flesh, then you cease from sin, my brother. You follow me? Hallelujah. So Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. He said, I take pleasure in all of my necessities, in all of my infirmities. He said, because the thing I've learned of God is that there is a spiritual being, and if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of this flesh, that I must mortify the deeds of my body. I must mortify the deeds of this flesh. I must mortify my deeds. You follow me? You know what a mortician is? I must mortify the deeds of the soul body. I've got to conquer it. I've got to kill it out. I've got to get control of it. Is that right? I can't let the woman rule me. I can't let her rule me. Hallelujah. Your war is not with your wife, my brother, that's out there, that natural woman you're living with. That ain't your war. Now, I know you got problems, and I understand that. She's got problems too. But I'll tell you one thing, your war is with that you. Amen. When you conquer you, you won't have no trouble out of her. Hallelujah! When you conquer you, everything will be all right. So then the war, the continual warfare is not between you and the wife out there. It's between you and that body that you got. There's a continual warfare between your body and between your spirit. Is that right? Woman and man alike. All right. Now, see the thing that's taking place here. God is letting us know that that act that we look to, what they call the act of the beast, that didn't have anything to do with it. I've said this before. If Cain reproduced Cain, and Cain reproduced Cain, and Cain reproduced Cain, then the whole family is Cain. If Seth reproduced Seth, and Seth reproduced Seth, and Seth reproduced Seth, and Seth reproduced Seth, then the whole family is Seth. There ain't no need for the spilling of blood. Somebody said to atone for sin. For what sin? I'd like for you to tell me what sin it is. If Adam was a son of God, and the Bible said he was not found in the transgression, and if Seth was the son of Adam, then Seth wasn't found in the transgression, and Seth's seed wasn't found in the transgression, and the seed and seed and seed wasn't found in the transgression, then why should Jesus come down here and die for somebody that it wasn't found in the transgression? You understand what I'm saying? So you got to understand, folks, what God's trying to tell you. Don't you know you can't cross that blood lineage? Where are you going to cross it? I said this before in preaching a sermon here. If Cain reproduced, it was Cain. The woman's only a carrier. Scientists say there's not a drop of a mother's blood in there. It wouldn't make no difference if Cain had married a daughter of Seth. That wouldn't make no difference. If Cain's descendants married Seth's descendants as women, if Cain's was men, they wouldn't have reproduced nothing but Cain's. Wouldn't be a drop of Seth blood in the lineage. Is that right? Vice versa. If Seth's sons took Cain's daughters, every seed of reproduction, what would it be? It would be a Seth. There wouldn't be one drop of the Cain blood in there. Because it don't mix. How many of you still want to say it? And besides that, if it was a beast, it wouldn't mix anyway. Scientists say you put a beast blood in there, it'd kill you. Are you listening? All right, then what is it? Well, what are we trying to say? I'm trying to say that if everything was a beast that came down through Cain's lineage, why did Jesus die? What was the need of him dying? The blood won't save a beast because God doesn't spill it for a beast. They're made to be taken and burned. Then God doesn't have to spill the blood for a righteous man. Come on now. So why would he spill the blood if all of them were sons of God? Oh, I see something's going on. Hallelujah, something different about that situation. And besides that, I ask this question again. If your theory, and that's what it is, it's a theory, it's not Bible. If your theory is right, then I'd love to know one more thing. If your theory is right, then I'd like for you to explain to me how that you get a Cain out of one family and a Seth out of the same family. How do you get a murderer out of one family and get a preacher out of the same family? Come on now. Are you listening? They say John Dillinger's daddy, I believe it was a preacher. And John Dillinger was a devil. Come on. How did both of them come out of the same family? How is it that one comes out of the family to live for God and walk straight and walk holy, and the other man come out and be a devil and go straight to the pit? If the blood won't cross, how did it get all mixed up? How did it come in? How did it do it? I'll tell you how it done it. It was a spiritual thing. Now when I use the term to get out of the flood, they say it went over on the flood. How in the world you get that? How can you get that something like that went over on the flood? I'd like for you to explain that to me. I ain't never found nobody could explain it to me. I'd like for somebody to explain it to me. Are you listening? The Bible said Noah and his family was the only ones who were saved, and them to whom they were married. Somebody said, well, that's the way it got over. What do you mean? The Bible only speaks of Noah's sons. It didn't say about Cain's sons going over, did it? And even if it had been Cain's sons, on the other side of the ark, all that ever reproduced was Cain's. Still wouldn't have mixed up. All of them been doomed for hell, and all the sons of God have been appointed to heaven. Is that right? Somebody said what it was, said it was one of them women. Said one of them women had cheated on her husband. Where do you ever read that in the Bible? Ain't no such as that in the Bible. Don't you know that the Bible don't bear that out? The time that they was on that ark proved that that statement could not be true. Because there was a conception and there was a birth, but it was by the sons of Noah. And the Bible gives the allotted time of the conception, of the mating, and it gives the allotted times of the reproduction. And it had plenty of time for God to number it according to the Bible and according to the period of time that they were on that. But if the woman had been with child when she went on that ark, there would have had to, something had to happen during the time of that pilgrimage, during the time of that flood, and there was no such thing that happened. The Bible don't record it. Afterwards, it gives a record of what happened. Come on now. Somebody said, well, I believe. I don't care what you believe. You just got some kind of theory and some kind of idea. The Bible told me in the Word of God to preach the Word. When Christ sent me, he said, preach the Word. I'm telling what the Word said, not what I think about it. All right, so then, if there is a general mixture, what kind of mixture is it? There is a mixture, all right. What kind of mixture in it? That devil is a spirit. Come on now. Satan is a spirit, and Satan has been cast out of the presence of God. Have you got just a minute to listen? Have you got just a minute to listen? What is it? There is a mixture. God made Satan, Lucifer, the son of the morning. How many of you remember the message on the son of the morning? I preached on the son of the morning. Is that right? And I preached that Lucifer I brought out some things concerning Lucifer. Is that right? Remember, he was a covering cherub. Is that right? And the covering was lost. Is that right? Lucifer, the son of the morning. Why was he the son of the morning? He was the brightest thing in heaven. That's right. As we would say, to stand up and lead the angel choir. All of heaven admired him. You know, folks, you might as well wake up and realize that there is some angels somewhere just like your human beings down here. You know, we like to think of heaven as a fairy tale, and we talk about Lucifer, the son of the morning, and Michael and Gabriel. We like to think they don't exist, but they do. They do. Man's made a little lower than the angels. They're up there, whether you believe it or not. Is that right? Lucifer, the son of the morning, what was it? He was so much in that light of God. He was so much in the presence of God that God's beaming radiance, brightness, hallelujah, he caught it first. Somebody said, where do you get that, Brother Pike? I preached a message here, how that Lucifer got control in the garden, how that God, to get to that life on the inside of man, has to go through that dark intellectual veil. He reckoned time from evening on to morning. And Paul said, looking through that veil, that dark veil, we just peep through it. Looking through a glass darkly, Paul said. Is that right? Types and shadows. Picking it up by types and shadows. Is that right? Paul said that veil that was over Rebecca when she came from down there in her natural family. Where are you? Folks, when you are born into this world, that glory of God, that life on the inside of you, it's got an intellectual veil over it. God veiled that life with those skins, those coat skins. God veiled it. It's in a veil when it comes from the family down there. When it comes from this old natural bastard side of life. It's an intellectual veil. It's a human veil. God, the eternal spirit, came down inside of Jesus. Veiled himself. Is that right? That's why when Moses stood on the mountain up there, the Bible said he put a veil over his face. Why? He was a prophet like unto Jesus. What did God do? Great is the mystery of godliness. For God come down in a veil. For God veiled himself in humanity. God put on a human skin and came down here and walked in this earth. Is that right? God did that, my brothers and sisters. God did that. Why? To show the veil. Why did he do that? Because he had to rend the veil. And when he took that old veil of that bastard child, he hung it up at Calvary and said, see here now. Oh, glory to God. He said, see here. You watch what I'm fixing to do. Amen. He said Adam lost his covering in the garden. Did he? Sure. What was the covering? It was the image of God. He was the woman. Eve was only a type of it. What did he lose? He lost his covering. What was the covering? The image of God. It was the image of God. He'd been made in the image of God. He was under the Shekinah. Is that right? He lost the image of God. He lost the covering. What kind of covering did God give him? Those skins. Give him a beast covering, made in the image of the beast. Is that right? Put him and her own skins, a coat. Isn't that right? He took a coat, he took a skin, and he put it on them. Isn't that right? And from that time on, he spilled the blood of beasts to show the condition of things. Jesus said, you see here now. Hallelujah. You just watch me now. Glory to God, if you don't think my heavenly Father loves me. Joseph said, you just watch me when I slip on this coat of many colors. You watch my brethren get jealous. And you watch them do everything they can to get this coat away from me. Amen. But Joseph put it on. He got that beautiful thing on and then he headed for the dungeon. Glory to God. I said the other day, to get the heights that you want, you got to find some depth somewhere. Amen. The devil had come out of the light of God's presence and been put in the depths of the darkness. Is that right? And he was the ruler of the darkness and nobody dared to go where he was. He was the king of the pit. Is that right? But the Son of God came down as the champion of justice and said to him, you might have went deep, but I want to show you what deep diving is. Hallelujah. You might have went down a little ways, but below there there's a pearl of great price. And I'm going down there to get it. Hallelujah. If you believe in skin diving, I'll show you how to dive. Hallelujah. And he fathomed the depths and he went down there and got it. He brought it up out of the deep. Hallelujah. He come back up out of the deep. and the devil couldn't do nothing but stand there. He had met his master. Glory to God. When the devil went down there that deep, he really thought he had done something. But Jesus went down there and went right down to the base of that trunk and went right on down to his root and plucked him up. Hallelujah, that's right. Glory to God. And put him in a cage and a little light down there and said, let your little light shine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said to Adam, and he said to Abraham, and he said to Elisha and those others down, he said, come on, let your little light shine. Hallelujah, is that right? This dark prison can't hold you anymore. Hallelujah. I wish you were spiritual tonight. I got a fellow that's sitting here. He feels like he's so spiritual that he's over my head, you know, and he's done left me a long time ago, and I've been watching him. He ain't even got into what I said. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let your little light shine, Jesus said. Glory to God. Light it up. See if there's any oil in them vessels. Hallelujah. That old intellectual veil, he'd done away with that covering. He said, you got a covering, but it's not of God. You cover, but it's not of God. You lost your image, but said, see here, I am made in the image of God. And there Jesus came up. He took that perverted image, which was a bastard child. He took it to Calvary and he nailed it to Calvary. And he opened the garment. He rent the veil. And out stepped the second man, Adam. Out stepped the quickening spirit. Out stepped the image of God. What image was it? He said he was made a quickening spirit. How do you know God's a spirit? Brother, to be made in the image of God, you got to be made as a quickening spirit. God is a quickening spirit. God's not a man that he should lie. God is a quickening spirit. Is that right? That's why God's got a son. Jesus Christ is that son. That son come down here and was willing to be made in the image of sin, that he might take the wrath of God that belonged to you. Is that right? That image is the head of the church. Hallelujah. He went through the suffering. He's the Son of God. Every bit the Son of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. That's the earthly part. Everything in heaven and earth is named after Jesus. That's the God family. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Is that right? In that old bastard image, that brute beast is blaspheming the tabernacle and the name of the tabernacle. And the rich man oppress you, and they take you before the mercy seat and blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called. What is it? The beast. Brood beast made to be taken and burned. So then, what does it have to do with? It's like what just recently happened in the meeting over here in Mississippi. Why did we go over there? Why did we put those pictures in the Harvester Herald like we did? They put it in there because it had to do with the resurrection. What does that have to do with? The new covering. The resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Why are we going with Brother Blake down here at Waycross? Why is it that George Jr. is down there with him? Why is that down there like that? Because Reuben is down there. What is Reuben? The firstborn. And the Bible said the firstborn shall serve the second. Is that right? Why? Because he went up to his mother's couch. Is that right? When you commit adultery, you go up to your mother's couch. Somebody said, what are you talking about? How do you know the flesh is your mother? Amen. That's what it is. So then what is it? See, it's the changeover, the veil of death, the covering being taken away. There is something that is taking place even at this present moment. That's why we went to the Meridian meeting like we did. The resurrection in the Meridian meeting, what was it to do? It was to come up in the Meridian meeting. And then when it boomeranged back here, we was to be caught out of here. Because when Jesus come up out of the grave as the second man Adam, what did he do? He was raptured away. How will we do it? By the way of the cross. Down by way cross. You understand what I'm saying? He did it by the way of the cross when the veil was rent in twain. Coming up out of the grave, it went away. Hallelujah. It went away. What did he do? It went over into that city, going back over across the waters to the sweet land. Hallelujah. Getting back over there where the headship started. Is that right? Going way back over there. That's why that the people that we spoke of, those that was cast out, you remember? That had to do with the casting out. Where did they go? They went over to Ewald Franks. Is that right? But he just had wrote a letter. And what was the letter? He wasn't inviting anybody over. Most assuredly and verbally, every time you reject this, God's got something else for you. Come on now. God will give you the truth and give you a chance for it. And then you're rejected, he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind unless you believe a lie and be damned. What is it? The land of Frankenstein. The monster, that's where they created it over there. What is it? Brother Parrish got with him. What is that? Didn't I say that Brother Branham's followers would go right into it? Is that right? Brother Parr representing the following, been into 90 different countries, they said. Is that right? All the world wondering after the beast. What beast? I'll come out there and bash your head out, they said. What was it? Hot tamales, they use the term. You understand what I'm saying? But God cast it down. Said it's not to be in heaven. And so then, what does it do? Like the vision I had, meeting Frankenstein. Way up yonder. Somebody can quote scripture, heady, high-minded. But his head went off of his shoulders. What is it? Brother Branham's following after the beast. That's what it is. They're going headlong right down to no man's land. Is that right? Sure. What is no man's land? Go down to Mexico. Over here it's America. Over there it's Mexico. In between it's no man's land. That's where the battle is. That's where Satan is. Between heaven and earth. Is that right? What is that no man's land? Them double-minded people, as half-breeds out there. That's what. No man's land. They won't be with this going over here with Brother Branham. They won't be with that that's going on over there with Brother Pike. They got to get something of their own and get in between. Intellectual, high-minded, heady. No man's land. That's what it is. You understand what I'm saying? All right, then going over there. What is it? Climbing up into the second heavens. But there's a place higher than that. Oh, hallelujah. Going to the land of the midnight sun. There's a place that's greater than that. What is that place? There's another place. So then, that thing running its interference, what is it? At the way of the cross, caught up. The death of the firstborn, caught up. When it's caught up, where does it go? It goes up yonder, and what does it do? It stays up there for about 10 days, and then what does it do? It comes back for a Pentecost. Hallelujah. A 4th of July celebration. Is that right? Hallelujah. Something is taking place. God's got something going on. Is that right? Hallelujah. Seen 40 days of the brethren. Is that right? And then resurrected. Was that right? And then caught up. Hallelujah. And then come back about 10 days to Pentecost. You see what I'm saying? The 4th of July, the breaking forth, signs and wonders and miracles. Something that's happening, something that's taking place. God doing a new thing. Hallelujah. What is the new thing? The redemption of the body. What is the redemption of the body? The covering that was lost. The covering. What kind of covering? Not that old intellectual traditions of the elders, which builds you into a false hope of your religious affair, which you call the image of God. They stand up and say, intellectually, my brothers, don't you worry, you're made in the image of God. And I'm preaching to you and God's coming back for you. That's right, you're made in the image of God and there's a God that's coming back for you, all right. You're a bastard child and there's a bastard God coming for you to turn you into hell. Come on, folks. Somebody said, I wouldn't preach like that for nothing. That's why I have to do it. Because you wouldn't do it. All right, so what do you say, Brother Pike? I say that Satan is the god of this world. But there is an image of Christ that is sonship. Is that right? What is that image? Sons of God. Got time to listen a few more minutes? What is the image? It's sonship. What is that? All right, let's just a minute. It's sonship. What is that? That's the God child that Christ is coming back after. That's the one He's coming back after. Amen. That's the one when He breaks the clouds is coming back. Now listen just a minute. You know, we take our intellectual indoctrinations and we just esteem them so high and we sit there and say, bless God, you tell me. Come on now. We're smart, you know, tell me. How many of you know God's smarter than you are? Sure. Somebody said, you tell me. They got Stevens over there to stone him to death. You tell us, we're the rabbis. But the Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake when the mighty presence of God came upon him. You understand what I'm saying, children of God? So then what is it? Somebody said, I'm standing right here. The Bible said one day he'll split the clouds of heaven and every eye shall see him and we're going to see him and we know that we're right. Come on. All right, at the service, I'd like for you to hem me up. And I'd like for you to tell me how that every eye is going to see him when some of the people on one side of the earth and some on the other. Come on now. Come on now. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, he's going to be way off. But the sun is way off. 93 million miles, I believe it is. But the other side of the earth still don't see it at the same time. Come on now. Every eye shall see him. Somebody said, now, I don't know what's going to be at the midnight cry. I don't know if it's going to be a cock growing. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. Come on now. I tell you how it's going to be. It's going to be like he said. How is that? He said one in the, or two in the bed, one taken and one left. That's the night side of life. Is that right? He said one in the field or two in the field, one taken and one left. That's the daylight side of life. Come on now. Is that right? Is that right? You might be in the field working. You might be in the bed sleeping. It might be over here with a cock crowing. It might be at the midnight cry. But whatever it is, my brother, Christ is suddenly coming to you. How then shall we see him? We shall see him as he is. He is a quickening spirit. You say, every eye shall behold him. The Bible said God shall suddenly return into saints to be glorified in his saints. He shall suddenly come from heaven and appear in his saints to be glorified in his saints. There is an eye of understanding where everyone shall see him. Because the Bible said the wicked dead live not again till the 1,000 years was finished. So they couldn't be standing on the earth. They are looking from down in the abyss of the pit, but they still see him coming. You don't have to be on the earth. Every eye shall see him. They that pierced him shall narrowly look upon him. You understand what I'm saying? You say, but how is that going to be? Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said the brightness of his coming, the whole earth vanished away. Come on now. Said the mountains fled away, the earth fled away. There wasn't nothing standing between you and him. Oh, hallelujah. There ain't nothing standing between me and God. There ain't nothing that can stand between you and God. Every eye shall see him. If they're down in the bottom, they'll still see him. Why? Because the veil has been rent in twain. There's a new covering. Oh, hallelujah. And John said, I saw New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride. That new covering, that new body, that bride, that new Eve. Hallelujah. As a bride adorned for a husband, I saw that new covering coming down. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, you mean the woman is the covering? Sure. How do you know that you're the woman? How do you know that that inner man is covered by her? Sure. All right. There's a lot of things I want to say, but I know it's getting late. We're just getting started. Can I say just a little bit more? Let's say just a little more, and I'll let you go. What about Lucifer, the son of the morning? What did he have to do with it? He was a covering. Is that right? The covering cherub. Covering? Sure, it was a covering. But not of my covering, God said. He is a God. He is an image. He is a covering for life. But it's a perverted covering. It's a covering of harlotry. It's not God's image. He's a covering cherub, but God cast him out. Oh, hallelujah. What is the covering cherub of God? It's Christ Jesus. That's the covering of God. It's the Son of God. If you're found in the image of Christ, if you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then he's your covering. Is that right? He's the covering of God. Is that right? He said, I counsel of you to buy me a raiment that's tried in the fire. Hallelujah. What is that raiment? That's Jesus. That went down into the heart of the earth and went through the bellies of hell. That's the garment that was tried in the fire. And it came out. He said, you didn't have the wedding garment. You didn't have that which was tried in the fire. Is that right? You didn't have it. That's my covering. That's the covering cherub of God. Hallelujah. That's all that God can look at. Is that blood of him. Oh, hallelujah. That royal blood with that lovely coat of many colors. Oh, hallelujah. That lovely cherub with the coat of many colors. Oh, it's the covering cherub of God, that rainbow about the throne. What is that rainbow? He said, this is my covering. Hallelujah. Amen. I give to you. Know the covering of the ark. I give to you the ark of my covering. This is my covenant. Is that right? The ark of my covenant, Noah. I wish we could go on. But listen, Lucifer, the son of the morning, what happened to him? He blackmailed God. I brought it out on tape. Is that right? Sure, God couldn't get to his little children because when that life, which was the little children, fell into the wrong covering, that veil of iniquity, thine iniquities, no good in the flesh, Paul said, no good thing in your flesh is between that inner life, which is that spiritual image, that child of God forming in the womb, that veil is in between that image and between God. Is that right? And God is afraid that devil image will kill that little child. I brought it out here where Christ stands off so meekly and so sweetly. And when that woman, she gets arrogant and she gets upset, he just says, that's all right, honey. That's all right. Isn't that right? Oh, somebody said, don't be silly. I'm not silly. I'm not silly. I'm just as sound as I can be. When she gets all out of sorts, God just looks over in his sweet tone and he says, that's all right, honey. That's all right. I know you're carrying that little child. I don't want that old beast part of yours to mark it. That's all right. Just go ahead. I got plenty of grace, and where iniquity abounds, grace is much more. But after a while, lady, after a while, glory to God, you get by with it now. But after a while, when that little fella comes forth, amen, at the rending of the veil, that little fella, when he comes forth, and then he's caught up to the throne, and dad has got him in his arm. Mama, you better line up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said, I'll make Jacob pass under the rod. 7 days of purification before she can come back to the husband. Mama, you better get in line. You can't mark the little child then. You can't mark him with that old intellectual beast mind of yours. Too late then. Hallelujah. He ain't got the mark. But everyone that's not of him will bear the mark. They'll bear the mark. What is the mark? Sin, of course. Sin. He is born of God. He cannot bear the mark. Because the seed of God remains in him and he cannot bear the mark. Sin, because he's born of God. Is that right? All right, so then let's say this right hurriedly now. Lucifer, what did he do? He got out of the presence of God. He transformated out of the presence of God. What is God? God's the great light. Where light is, there is no darkness. How could there be darkness? For I will destroy with the brightness of my coming your intellectual reasoning. When my wisdom, by which you cannot speak or understand or resist, as in the days of Stephen, with the brightness of my presence, with the revelation of all things, when I appear, you can't withstand it. Now, somebody said, that couldn't be God, but he says, not me speaking, but God speaking. It's God speaking. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. I'm not talking to you unbelievers. You're doomed anyway. He said, because you didn't believe on the only begotten of the Son. Who is the begotten of the Son? The Word. What does the Word say? It's God speaking. You're lost to start with. Now, so what is it? My sheep know my voice. What is it? He transformated out of the light. And what did he do? He got so far out of the light, out of the light, out of the light, and in the distance, he became the ruler of darkness. Is that right? All he remembered was what he had seen. He had a blueprint up here A blueprint. What was it? It was an intellectual religious blueprint. So he said, I think I'll start a church. And I'll call the mother of it Mother Harlot. And I think I'll produce me some daughters, and we'll get us a bunch of bastard children, and we'll take this world over. Come on now. Come on now. The great whore, is that right? That's what he had planned to do. Is that right? He got to be the ruler of the darkness. All he could remember, he had an intellectual imprint of what one time was life, because Adam was under the covering of that great Shekinah glory. He was not born of it. He was under it. But when that light went away, the bastard image of Adam came forth. The intellectual image of that weakness of the woman. God said, now, lest they get a hold to that tree of life and live forever. That is to say, as a bastard image, said, you get out of here, Adam. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Said, to the sons of God, pray that ye might have right to the tree of life. Isn't that right? Said, how am I going to get back to it? That covering cherub. That flaming cherub. Who is he? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he stood there with a two-edged sword. Isn't that right? That flaming cherub guarding that tree of life. He was the covering cherub. Is that right? He's the one that covers it. Amen. To get back to it, what have you got to do? Die. Pass through the fire. Can you die? No man can see God and live. How can I get in there? Only one way. Paul said, be baptized into his death and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust, the desire thereof. Is that right? So he transformated out of the light of God. And the ruler of the darkness he is. Is that right? What is that darkness? It's the darkness of your intellectual reasoning. The fall of the garden. Now listen for just a minute now. Fan the coals for just a minute. Alright. What is it? There is a light. But that light is darkness. That light is darkness. There is a light. That light's darkness. You understand? What is that light? The Bible said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? There is a dark light. What is that? Lucifer, the son of the morning. He was a light. He was a light. How do you know Lucifer's a light? He's a light. Sure. What is a light? An understanding. He's got an understanding, folks. Sure has. You don't have an understanding if you're not born of God. You think you've got to understand because you've got 2 years in college, 6 years in college, you ought to meet Lucifer and have a talk with him. He's a light. Amen. He's a light. But he's a dark light. He transformated out. He got in reverse. You understand what I'm saying? He went out of the presence of God. Oh, there's so much we could say when we get right there. Is that right? That's why God, when he looked down out of heaven, he said he saw the earth void without form. Void without form. What is it? It's that intellectual you. It's that intellectual you. When the light of this gospel arises over you, when your glory has come, and God looks down and he sees you, you're all out of shape. You've lost the image of God. You're dark. You're in darkness. You're in intellectual darkness. You're dark. You're without form. You're not in the image of God anymore. But the light of God has arisen. And with the brightness of his coming, I will destroy the image. Is that right? I'll destroy the image. Why? Because is that brightness coming? As the brightness of that coming, it will literally destroy the bastard child. As he smote Jesus at Calvary, he will destroy it, and nothing can stand there but the unveiled sons of the living God. Sons of light versus the sons of darkness. That's why that revelation took place over in Israel. Because we were standing there where it spoke of the sons of darkness and the sons of light, and we came out of there and went right straight up on that pyramid of rocks, and there we stood, and it come out on spiritual conquest. Is that right? The resurrection of the sons of light, the transformation of God. We are not children of darkness, that day should come upon us unaware, because we are not intellectual scholars from some college, but we are children of light, which means revelation. We are revelated, understanding children that see the light of God and know when it's not in and know what God's doing. So that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. Isn't that right? And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. I'm going to stop right there. There's just about a whole lot more that I need to say. When I get to the light, right to the light, to enter into the light. Then in I go into the light, in you go into the light. And there we are in the glorious lights of the sons of the living God. And then we can really start telling about God, what he's really doing. Is that right? That's when the Bible said Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Why? Because Lucifer was an angel of light. It's a dark light. But he was. And he has a knowledge, a transformation of light that's understanding. Sure, he can do it. He's religious because he knows the religious side of it. Through a transformation. You understand what I'm saying? I know that some of you understand some of it. Some of you don't. Some of you haven't even heard it. But one thing about it, there is a whole lot in what we said tonight. And if you can get a hold of it, you say, what good is it to me, Brother Pike? It is the divine pilgrimage from earth to heaven. Those that walked that trail with me tonight, those that moved along with me tonight, those that held the hand of the invisible tonight, you don't live in the same place you did when you come to church tonight. Amen. You move to a higher ground. There's a transformating. And if I started then, I'd have to preach another sermon. From glory to glory. You want to stand with me? I appreciate your attention tonight. We're not trying to prove anybody to be anything. We're just telling you about Jesus. Paul said to know Jesus. He just forgot about everything he knowed when he met the revelation. It was so lovely. So wonderful, he didn't want to know nothing but revelation from then on. Hallelujah. So then, the revelation will take you to the third heaven. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but transformate. Hallelujah. Glory to glory. When he said, shall not all sleep, you know very well in the message we brought out, you're certainly not going to die. Because death is the death of the soul. That's the second death. It don't have any power over you. So he isn't talking about that. Somebody said, well, he's talking about that second death. No, not this time. He's talking about that sleep. Lazarus sleepeth. He's talking about that when you go to sleep. You don't have to go by the way of the grave. We shall not all sleep. Somebody's going to discover something. And when you discover something, if you discover it right, you make the right application, death don't have any power over you. Death is conquered. Death is gone. Death is defeated. The only power death has over you is what you allow. That's right. All right. You say, well, bless God, if that be so, I ain't allowing him to do nothing to me. That ain't worth the time you took to say it. The Bible said resist the devil. How do you do it? By drawing nigh to God. You can't just say, get out of here, devil. How can you keep him from killing you? By faith. Faith. Amen. He deformed a hand, you just believe it back into existence. Is that right? He cut it off, you just believe it back into existence. Is that right? He caused it heart to go this way, you just believe it to go that way. He believes things to get all tore up here, you just believe it to get straightened out. Come on. Isn't that right? The devil brings you to lay down in the casket, just say, excuse me, I'm getting back up. Believe yourself right out of it. You love the Lord? Sure, you can do it. By faith. By faith. Enoch just said, step aside, Satan. Amen. And he got ready to go home. The spirit of death come by. Said, I ain't got time to bother with him. I'm busy. Didn't even bother to tip his head at him. Just passed on by and treated him like a stranger. That's what Nathan called him anyway, a stranger. Over there, said a stranger came by when he's talking to David. But he said to us, said, we won't hear the voice of a stranger. Isn't that right? Amen. If David had been full of the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have heard the voice of the stranger either. I'm glad we'd be full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. A stranger they will not listen to. They won't follow him. That's why so many of you get in trouble is because you're not children of God, and that stranger keeps speaking through your intellectual powers and you follow him. That old stranger, he'll come by and he'll say, Brother so-and-so didn't treat you right, and that old temper you'll flare up like a wet hen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. That's right.
That old devil come by a son of God and say, "Oh, so-and-so didn't treat you right." Poor fellow. God have mercy on my precious brother. He don't understand. Forgive him. The mind of Christ versus the mind of darkness. Let's sing a little chorus together, folks. I like to sing that, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.